A few weeks ago, I received an email from Tom Bewley. Tom lives in Washington State, and he was asking for a copy of the interview we did with Peg Lynch back in 1970. He said he was in touch with Peg and that she would be very pleased to hear the interview. Well, we sent him a CD, and then I asked Tom if I might interview Peg. He gave me her phone number, and I called her. Peg was expecting my call and wanted to be brought up to date about my career. After all, it had been 35 years since our last conversation. I told her I left WTIC in 1977 and was now with the Voice of America, the U.S. government's international radio and television stations. And then she asked me,
did you know Willis Conover?
Well, yes, of course.
I used to be engaged to him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, I'm sure he didn't tell you. We had a fight.
Oh,
never
that's...
spoke again. We did Ethel and Albert for a whole year without speaking.
Oh, that's...
I mean, we didn't talk outside of the show.
Oh.
I brought the script to him. It was in Cumberland, Maryland. We were both working at this small station in Western Maryland. And, God, I can't remember what it was scrapped of. Oh, that was so silly. We went to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
One night, and they stopped. Something went wrong with the film and stopped, and we walked down to the drugstore. Another two or three people walked with us, and we all sat together. And we were going steady, more or less, as they called it then.
Sure.
And the next night, we had a date, and he dumped me. He took this blonde out that had been in the part. I just remember all this now. That's funny. And went out with her, took her. I don't know what they did. Matter of fact, I forgot. I never knew. He just didn't show up. Everybody was most unlike him, too. He was rather naive at that time. He was also 2 years younger, and his father was going crazy thinking we were going to get married. And we had no intention of getting married, of course, but we called it. I thought that was fun. Willis was about 18 or 19. I was about 21. But...
Yeah.
And, well, anyhow, when I got to Moscow, I went to Moscow. A friend of my husband, a schoolmate, was ambassador to Moscow from Norway. And... Oh, it's a long story, but anyhow, my daughter and I were at a table at the Astoria Hotel, and some drunk was serenading her. She was 16 and all dressed in lilac color.
Mm-hmm.
And a man came over, said he was a teacher of English. Could he sit for a minute and talk to me? And I said, yes. And the first thing he said was, do you know Willis Conover? I nearly fell off the chair. He was, apparently was very well known in Europe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Literally, when he got off the plane, the crowds would flock around
yeah,
him.
That's
he was
what
that
he
famous.
Said.
Yeah.
Same thing in Poland.
Yep, that's true.
So
that's
I couldn't believe it in Moscow after all these years, and then to hear Willis Conover's name when I got to Russia.
Well, anyway,
very
you both did very well in radio. But his audience was overseas.
He died, didn't he?
Yes, Willis died, I think, about 8 years ago or so.
Did he have any children, do you know?
I don't believe he ever was married. Well,
he was married. Three times.
I beg your pardon. He was married several times,
yeah.
But he certainly wasn't married when I knew him, which was about 86, from 86 on. So
he was married to Miss Transit Authority.
Oh, who was that?
Somebody in Washington.
Oh.
I love that. I always wanted to use it in the script, but I couldn't figure it out how.
You got a chance to hear the original interview, I understand. How did you react to it?
I loved it. I thought
you?
It was excellent. Yeah. I really did. And I was surprised. There was another one, the Bickersons. I had never heard them.
Yep.
I heard Easy Aces when I was about 15. I'm 88 now. When I was about 15, and we got our first radio. And Mert and Marge, I also heard. They were popular then. You probably never heard of them.
Oh, sure, of course.
Well, and Mert, when Mother and I could never figure out whether it was a man or a woman. And many years later on television, I got an actor who was a friend of Alan Bunce's, and his name was Vinton Hayworth. And Vinton turned out to be an uncle of Rita's.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had many stories to tell how Rita really should have been just a housewife, because she just loved everything about cleaning house and cooking and looking after children. In her heart, she wasn't really this glamorous star that she was thought to be. And Denton and his wife didn't know anything about Ethel and Albert, and they had a terrible fight one day because Denton had decided he needed a hobby, and he got one a lot of photographic equipment and was making his own you know, what do they call it?
Prints or pictures?
Using negatives is what I mean. Mm-hmm. Having negatives in this fluid. And it was the dripping fluid that caused the brown spot.
Yeah.
And I, not knowing them at all, I had, oddly enough, had the same script in which Ethel said, I don't know what these brown spots are. I've been wiping and cleaning them up. And then finally she discovers what it is. And they were in the middle of a terrible fight. Vince says, the closest we came for divorce in our whole time. And he said, here, suddenly we stopped dead when they heard Ethel saying, I know it's the brown spots from something. And Albert said, well, it could be our cleaning, the cleaning fluid. And that said, they both stopped screaming at each other long enough. Both looked at the radio were listening. And the set, he said, the script was practically identical to what they were screaming at each other. But they were really nasty. And and he came and told Alan he wanted to be on the show, so I put him on.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
he was wonderful. Still on some of the, he was on quite a few of the, and his son was Dink, was his nickname. And he was, Vinton's wife was a sister to Ginger Rogers' mother.
Well, that's
which made Dink a cousin to both Rita Hayworth and Ginger Rogers. And well, nobody at school would believe it.
I bet not.
Then the two stars were not talking to each other. So Fenton finally persuaded them when Ginger and what was the other one?
Rita.
Yeah, Rita came to New York simultaneously. He managed to get them together long enough for somebody to snap the picture with Dink so he could take it to school to show the kids.
Oh, that's a great story.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you ever get in touch with, or do they ever get in touch with you, radio collectors and historians?
Oh,
and so
I've been
on?
Going to the radio, Friends of Old Time Radio since, well, I think this one started and that must have been, oh, easily 30-some years ago.
Sure,
I've
been
up in the Berkshires now for 35 years. And I didn't go to the first, but I think I went to the second. And there were about, I think maybe six or seven. Jackson Beck was there, and Evelyn Juster. There were only about six of us, six or eight.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of them, I don't think there were more than 30 people at the first one. And this was the second one I was at. We didn't do anything. There was no entertainment. We just got together, I guess, to, you know, say nice to see you again. And somehow it evolved. In fact, I went to quite a few of them before somebody said to Jay Hickerson, why don't you ever have Peg Lynch on? He said, who's that?
Jay said that?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't pay a great deal of it. I like Jay very much.
Oh, sure.
He doesn't pay a great deal of attention, and I don't think he knew. Well, he's a musician, after all, let's face it. You know, I don't know many musicians. And so he just hadn't seen it or heard of it or so.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that.
There are gaps
sure.
in our knowledge, no matter who we are.
You're not listening to the radio or the television, watching TV all the time just because you're in the business.
Have you done anything since we talked back in 1970?
Yes,
you done any commercials?
Right after that, I did the little... No, I did... Oh, I don't know what it's called even. Oh, Little Things in Life. Yes, I did about almost 2 years. It only ran for 2 years. It was produced by, isn't this awful, Richard Cox,
mm-hmm.
Dick Cox. And it was part of our show. I don't know what that was called.
Was this radio or
radio
television?
Something. It was an hour show, and it was syndicated. And there were two soap operas and another thing of Vanity Fair. It was written by my friend Nancy Moore, who's dead now. And I think Ethel and Albert was... Well, I never heard the show as such. Well, it wasn't... I don't think it was syndicated. It was just syndication.
Yeah.
And you never know who he sold it to unless... they don't bother sending you these things.
Probably
they really
not.
Don't.
No.
I don't have anything of the early Ethel and Albert from 44 to 50.
Yeah.
And they didn't make any except when I went on my honeymoon. And then they didn't tell me about them. They didn't tell me they had them. I knew they had them. I didn't know enough to ask for them.
Do collectors have them?
Yes. I don't think they've got... I have very few. I think one or two of the early shows. And I'm just now... My daughter said to me about 2 years ago, Do you realize I have only seen a fraction of your over 10,000 shows that you broadcast?
Wow.
She said, would you mind putting them on CDs and DVDs? So that's what I'm in the process of doing now, organizing all the things that are taking room instead of furniture around this place.
Well, that's good.
And I've got a lot of them. I've got a couple next door now. There's all this stuff is Ethel and Albert anyhow. You know.
Well, what took you to Massachusetts? You weren't originally from that area.
My husband's not in the business. He's a pulp and paper engineer. He was foreign sales manager for Beloit. They're makers of machinery that makes paper.
I see.
Now they're bankrupt. Oh. And he's my age, and he's been retired since, oh, no, he's a year younger. I mustn't take advantage of this. he retired when he was about 67 and was lost. And they went bankrupt late, not because of him, but about 5 years later. But he would travel all over Taiwan and Mexico, often in Mexico and all of South America a lot.
And did you get to travel with him?
I did some traveling after I wasn't on the air.
Well, that's good because, you know, it gives you an opportunity to
I have about,
literally see the world.
I have about, I don't know, I have about 100 TV shows and a few. I was on the Kate Smith show for 2 years.
Was
I've
that on TV?
I've just a few of everything. They were, Kate didn't come in until 57.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I quit, 57 or 58, and I quit just at the same time. Alan was very angry, but you know, I was working. I'd started in 50 when I was pregnant, and I lasted the first year. Ted said, and I showed the minute I was pregnant, about a week later, I think. And Ted said, I realized I was buying maternity clothes and I was only 2 months pregnant. I said, I don't think I'm going to be able to stick this out until June. And he said, why? My daughter was expecting in November, and she said she didn't have the baby till February. I said, well, her math is as bad as mine then. Anyhow, so I stuck it out till June, and it was very fortunate. That was the year that the big coats came in, the tent-sized coats.
Uh-huh.
And I always wrote the script around the fact that Ethel was pregnant. No, I couldn't say that.
Not in 1957.
I couldn't say she was pregnant. And the next year, Lucy got pregnant, so then it was all right. And I had the coat on. We were going somewhere or traveling, or it was a, you know, there are a lot of scripts for
oh, sure,
for
yeah.
That.
And today they know how to shoot around it that you don't even see
the
person is pregnant.
Well, the stagehands were rather nervous, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
I had the baby, I think, a week before after I went off.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So we did it until June.
Peg, it's been great talking to you.
Well,
and,
it's fun. Wait a minute, don't. Too, there's maybe some things I think of later I want to ask you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You want to interview me?
Yes.
Anything?
I just did, by the way, maybe you might like a copy of it just for fun. Let me think. I did a series for NBC Radio Monitor, and they were, Mike and Nichols did one at the same time. You did about four-minute shows.
Sure, I remember
and
those.
You do? Well, yeah. I didn't. I never had any copies of them. And about 20 years ago, an engineer who I did remember meeting and forgot to write down his name, and to this day I'm so sick that I didn't get it. I've never been able to thank him. Anyhow, he called and said, I found a few Ethel and Albert. He said radio collectors would go crazy. There's a truck, two big trucks backed up to the side entrance, wherever that is in the RCA building. But he said they're just throwing in all of the, every single radio show they've got. Hmm. And he said, all the Theater Guild with all the stars.
Yep.
And he said they just go crazy. They're taking them out and dumping them in the middle of the Atlantic.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. So he said, I found a few Ethel and Alberts and I wondered if you'd like them. And that's the first I ever heard the. I've got about 300. And my daughter, whose husband is in he used to play a palladium. He's a musician, a composer. And she was going out to a luncheon with a, they know her, but the business, you know, they do in England.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, a producer was sitting next to her, and he said, God, I'm going crazy trying to find any old-time radio shows. And he said, she said, what kind are you looking for? And he said, I want some with short comedy sketches. and she didn't say anything to him then, right that second, but she had gone, she had picked up the mail on the way out, because as I'm getting these done, I'm sending her the copy, you see, and she picked up the mail on her way to the lunch or dinner, whatever it was, and so she reached in her purse then and took out this one. She knew what was on it. She'd seen, heard that one, and she said, "This is your fairy godmother. Your prayers have been answered." And contrary to what happens over here, and I can't imagine it happening. I really cannot literally imagine it happening over here, where you never get a break when you're handing an unsolicited script in anyway to anybody.
No, that's true.
And he not only called her back, he not only had listened to them that day, he called her back the next day, and he said he wanted to see her as soon as possible to discuss the fact that he wanted to put the show on the air, and that he wanted first for her to go to America, to Beckett in the Berkshires, to interview the fairy godmother. and they came over, and I came over with, they sent Pete Atkins with her for the technical end of it from the BBC, and Dick Vosburgh, who was American and lived in England for 50 years. Dick is a comedy writer, and I met him when Lisa was first married 20 years ago, and I went over, and it was like making a masterpiece movie, because everybody, over there, everybody knows everybody else, and it was a nice party she had for me to meet people. And when he was introducing me to this man, he said, "Don't introduce me to Ethel. I've known her since I was 14. Again, his mother, they lived in Washington then, because his dad, who just died, was head of one of the president of the National Geographic Society, and he was 100 years old, just 100 this last month, or I forget, just recently. Anyhow, time goes so fast.
Well, it does, and this.
And his name was Dick Vosburgh, and he married an English woman that had so many kids that Dick, and still does, grabs his briefcase when he has a comedy sketch to write for some famous comedian here or there, and gets on the subway. Anyway, he probably doesn't do it now, but he then rode around all day writing his comedy.
Just using that as an inspiration?
Yeah, I guess so. And he's the one I called and asked if he could interview me. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Peg.
You bet, dear.
I enjoyed so much talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.